they're asked, well, it's because I'm a pretty good person. I've been in prison. That's the qualification. The road is indeed wide that leads to heaven. Trying to coordinate my program with this one. It takes a lot of coordination. Let's see. Is that... Did I break this when I dropped it? I just dropped it. Okay, did you do that or me? Hey, I think we're good now, Jason. Amy Hancock Sims, do you recognize that building? Amy was one of our students at East Harding. She got a D- in my Bible class. I was very proud. But she's doing great now and glad to see she got things turned around. But Amy, you may remember, we had a lot of kids get baptized during that time, and we took them just down the road. Rural Hill Church building is a block down, and kids sometimes would get baptized in the middle of the day. And one girl, she came to me 25 years later. She is one of our 7th, 8th grade students, and she said, and it easily called me Coach Mack, and she said, Coach Mack, I got to tell you something. I've got to be rebaptized. And when she had Coach Spann, her and another girl, y'all had Coach Spann out here, hadn't you? Yeah. So he had them in Bible, and they had a big test coming up they hadn't studied for. Well, when you got baptized during the school day, usually everybody go down the building, your parents, grandparents be there. Then the kid, instead of going back to school, I mean, this is a celebrative moment, they would go out to eat, you know, spend the rest of the day with the family. Well, they knew this. So they came to Coach Spence and said, we want to be baptized. This is the worst baptism story in the history of mankind. It's probably never happened that two kids got baptized to avoid a social studies test. So she comes to me and she's telling me this story and I'm crying, I'm laughing so hard. And I said, I will rebaptize you. So we baptized her then. We called Coach Spann, had him on speakerphone. I said, Coach, you got to hear this story from Melissa. And he remembered her. And then she told the story. And I'm crying, laughing. She's telling it just in total regret and repentance. She's not braggatory at all. She feels horrible about this. But the way she's telling it so serious, it makes it even more funny. And Coach Spann says, and he's laughing too, and he said, Melissa, I am going to have to report y'all. Y'all got to do that test again. So, but we had a kid get baptized, a kid in high school one afternoon. And this kid, he's the one that drives the parents crazy, the school crazy. He was a bit of a punk. He came into the world, you know, fussing at the nurses and just intentionally messed his diapers when he didn't have to. He was just not fun to be around at all. But in high school, his heart melted. So we baptized him, and after he was baptized, his sister came up to me and said, now, she's the opposite. She came into the world smiling at the nurses. You know, she never messed her diapers. You know, she was, you never had to get on to her. And she said, he really needed to get baptized. And what she didn't realize is we all really need to get baptized. There was a lady I went to church with years ago. I hope that in her, you know, she was all ready, you know, on along in years, and hopefully she changed in the last few, and I think she did. But she said that she never sang the song, I was sinking deep in sin, because she said, I've never sank deep in sin. Well, the little girl at Ezel and that lady must not have known I went the wrong way. All I'm saying are songs now. We'll get this straightened out. I'm not leading those. Now I'm going to back up. Jason, they didn't go in, did they? James 2:10 didn't make it, did it? That's all right. I'll quote it. He's going to try to find it for me. while he's doing that, the verse they missed. Let me tell another story. They'll give him time to get there. A couple of other ladies, you know, near my age, said that when they were in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher said to them, "Girls, I would hate to think that I sinned every single day." Well, is that something to brag about? If you could go one day, which I don't think you can, what about the other 80,000? To say, "Lord, I had a total of 1 week of total perfection." But what those girls, those ladies missed was this verse right here. What timing, Jason. Whoever, that would include most of us, whoever keeps the whole law, and that's not talking about the U.S. Constitution, and stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Now let that verse sink in for a second. When you commit one sin, and let's just choose anyone. Maybe you cheated on a quiz in the fifth grade. Maybe you stole a dollar out of your mom's purse. Maybe you did something. Maybe you backtalked your parents. Maybe you got a D- in Bible. Maybe you lied about your baptism, needing to be baptized. Whatever that one sin is, according to God, that's like you slamming all of the commandments at one time in one day. Because whenever we make comments like, "I never sank deep in sin," or "I'd hate to think that I sinned every day," or "he really needed to get baptized," we're doing two things. We're highly overestimating our goodness and really underestimating God's holiness. Major, big time. Which is why the song says, "For by grace you have been saved," is this verse, "through faith, that is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works that nobody can boast." Now, you cannot cut that any other way. And the problem as Americans that we have is we earn everything else, and we should. You know, Will came to my team. I didn't give him the starting position because I liked his daddy. Didn't really like his daddy that much. I'm not going to just give that away. A kid's got to earn their scholarship. You get a 4.0, you ought to go to college free. You should earn the promotion. You should earn the raise. But when you come to God, you have to literally flip all of that around. You have to literally throw the American work ethic out the door totally. Because it's the exact opposite. If a kid came to me and said, "Coach, I'm no good. I've never played. I can't play. I'm not any good. I don't deserve to be on the team." Well, he ain't getting on. But that's what you have to do when you come to God's team. "God, I'm no good. I don't deserve to be in it, but I'd really like to make it." That's the way you have to come. It's the exact opposite of the good athlete, the good worker, the good student. You have to literally, and this is the tough thing, this is why some of the toughest people to reach for Christ are the elderly in the retirement centers that aren't saved. Those people, because they're good people, they were hardworking Americans, they worked hard. They were out, you know, milking the cows like my dad did when he was 10, had milked 15 cows before he got to school and milked them when he got back. Those type of people that made this country, when they don't come to Christ early, they're tough to reach because they're self-made. And I'm glad we've got it set up like this over here in this country where we can do that. But when it comes to getting up here to heaven, it flips around. But we got the same thing in all the other world religions. Who are our friends here? What friends are these of ours? Jews. Good. You don't know these? That's good. It's good you came. How would our Jewish friends say, get to heaven? Just try harder. Just keep keeping God's command. Just keep keeping them. Just keep following Him. Try harder. Who are our friends here? Muslim. Our Muslim. Now let me answer from a Muslim, from his words, how he said to get to heaven. I asked him. I said, "How do y'all get to heaven?" He said, "Do good and then hope." How much good you gonna do? What about them? Who's this? This looks like some of your children's, it looks like some of my students' essays right there is what that looks like. It's Hindu, yes. Now, they are kind of like, their goal is to be the Force in Star Wars. You reincarnate, you recycle, you finally get out of here. If you're a good person, if you're not a good person, you'll come back maybe as a cow so you can't eat them because it could be people recycling. It could be your Aunt Ethel, so no McDonald's. And then you finally join the Force, basically, is the best way I can explain to kids. Is the Force alive? Do you pray to the Force? No. The Force doesn't even know it's the Force. And you join it when you get out of here. That's their definition of heaven, which doesn't sound like much of heaven to me. And then who's this? One kid said the Pittsburgh Pirates. That was they picture. That was the steering on the pirate ship. That's the Buddhist, and it's that the wheel of life, similar to Hinduism, you recycle, but you don't want to go to the Force. You want to go to Nirvana. It's not a rock group from the 60s we listen to. Nirvana is nothingness. You deny all the pleasures and sufferings of this life. The key is that everything you're seeing right now is an illusion. And the true reality is when you get the enlightenment to realize this isn't even really here, to truly experience what it means to have been here is to join nothingness. Now, I don't know how you recruit people to that. I don't get that. Then we come to this one. This is the only one in the world. And those other four, that sums up all other religions, those four. It's the only one that you don't get to heaven by your performance. Let's look at it like swimming. Let's suppose you've got to swim the English Channel. That's to get to heaven. In other words, you've got to be that good a swimmer. Okay? Let's just look at it like swimming. So here's this guy, and hope this okay, he's there you are. You're going down. We'll start on the left. What would the Jews say? Swim harder. A little too late for that. What would the Muslims say? Swim harder in hope. The Hindu would say, don't worry, maybe you'll come back as a lifeguard. The Buddhist would say, you ain't even drowning. Just deny it's happening and you'll be okay. Christ comes along and he says, get in the boat because you can't do it yourself. Let's use another illustration. Let's go with our presidents. We could open up a little political debate here and talk about one of the worst ones ever, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to mention one that had some issues. For you kids or people under, you young people under 30 that they never got this far in history, he lied and did a lot of covering up, and President Ford came along behind him and granted him a pardon. A lot of Mr. Nixon's cronies went to prison. He didn't. He was granted a full pardon. And when he got that pardon, could he go and run for office in another city in the United States? Yeah. He'd go to Kroger's, Disneyland. Full rights. Was he innocent? No. He was guilty, big time. But he was treated legally as innocent. That's what's happened to us. Major, major verse here. God made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the perfection, we would say, righteousness of God in him. This is the illustration we used this morning. Our sins go to Christ when we're baptized. But this is so important that we get across to people. We have to be perfect to get to heaven. Please don't do this when you're talking to your children, your friends. You need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Be thou faithful till death, get a crown of life. You want to join our group. We are the closest to the Bible in your neighborhood. That does not convict anybody of their sin. We need to hammer James 2:10 into their psyche that you must be perfect. You cannot make one mistake. You are not good enough. Have you ever stolen a pencil in your life? Okay, that makes you a thief. Have you ever told a little white lie before? You're a liar. Have you ever lusted in your heart? You're an adulterer. Have you been mad at somebody, cussed somebody, bullied somebody, picked on somebody? You're a murderer according to Jesus. Now we've only covered four. And you're a lying, stealing, adulterating murderer. We've only covered four. And everybody's like that. We sing the song, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one." Romans 3 says, "There's none righteous, no, not one, no, not one, none are righteous." Okay, there's the sinner. There's perfection on the right. Okay, oh, sorry about that. There we go. Jason's been catching me up. Thank you, Jason. So I get baptized. Here's what happens. Stay with me. Boom. Am I really perfect? No. Is Jesus really a sinner? No. We're declared, legally declared. On days you don't feel saved, you're saved. If you're trusting God, if you've been baptized into Christ, if you're faithful to following Him, when you're depressed, when you're down, I tell you, here's the thing. If you're not saved 100% all the time, and you're saved on emotion, then you got to hope that you're saved when you're on a high. Or if you're only saved when you get your prayer in, then it depends on the time of day you die. Okay? So here's another illustration. Who's our baseball? We got baseball fans out here, Major League. Any Major League fans out here? Yeah. Cardinal fan?
No.
Okay. Who? Okay, we'll go. Oh, that's right. That's right. I knew that. What is your name?
Roy.
Okay, Roy, you've made major leagues. You're with the Yankees. And y'all are in the World Series. And you make three errors that lead to three runs. You've struck out three times. You have put your team in a hole 3-0. But the Yankees have loaded the bases, and it's your up. And the manager looks at you and goes, "No, not today." Puts the pinch hitter in, and he knocks a grand slam. Does he get a ring? Yeah, he gets a World Series ring too. He didn't do anything. He hurt the cause. We've hurt the cause. We've all hurt the cause of Christ. We've hurt the example. We've all said something, done something, had an attitude. We've done something negative. We don't deserve it. And God puts Jesus into pinch hit. He knocks the grand slam and we still get the ring. All right, here's another illustration. Hope these help a little bit. Here's what I thought when I was younger. Here's God up there at 100%. And I'm down here, I'm a lowly sinner. But what I do, I hear about the Bible, and I do as many good things. Attend as often as I can, visit all I can to do mission trips and do all the good stuff, and God will come down 40, 50, 60, 70%. That doesn't sound too much like "for grace are you saved through faith." If we're saved that way, that's kind of like, well, let's suppose that you get home from graduation and in the driveway is your dream car. Now again, this is a dream. But what would be your dream car sitting there? A what? That's just a Stingray Corvette, okay. And so your dad says, "Well," and you come around the corner, there it is. He throws you the keys and says, "It's only going to cost you $1,000 a month, man." Is that a gift? No, that's what that is when we think God is coming down to where we're at. Here's what happens according to the Bible. We're baptized. Okay? So this person's baptized, and God's up here at 100%. He comes down all the way by grace and gets us. And that's what, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Look at that verse again. "Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should." But look how he says it three times. Okay? It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. And so you are 100% saved and justified, declared perfect throughout life till death. So you are perfect. You're not really. You're declared. You are not perfect, but you're declared perfect. You're treated as perfect. It flips. Now, the part about our goodness and our works, that's another word, sanctification. You got justification up at the top. Sanctification, that's us trying to live for God. And we need to try to live for Him as best we can. But here's the thing. This is how... up here. That's how our sanctification works. In fact, I couldn't find the graphic I wanted. Is yours like this? Here you are at baptism. Here's death. Mine's like this. That's how mine is. Your commitment and zeal waxes and wanes, doesn't it? But your justification doesn't. And again, we got to hope if it's based on our sanctification, then we got to hope we're on one of the upswings. If we're on the downswing, so it's the time of year, the time of day you die. God's not playing games. He's not yo-yoing with us, in, out, saved, lost. So that's the difference in justification and sanctification. We're constantly justified. Back in 04, I went through a horrendous depression. And Andy, we've been talking about doing this little weekend deal where I kind of share some of the tough times. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I've had a wonderful life. But we've had two pretty rough episodes, one now and one when I had depression. And it got so low that I wanted to die. I begged God to kill me. Now, during that time, I had a specific type of mental illness we found out later that it literally attacks like a monster what's important to you, what is sacred to you, and this one attacked my religion, and I thought I was going to go to hell. Now, the thing is, all through that time, through the time it took me to recover, took several months for me to recover, during the time, I thought I was lost. I didn't have a lot of sanctification. I couldn't even go to church. I couldn't get out of the house. That entire time, I thought I was going to hell. I was justified by God. Now, if I'd have come out of that and said, hey, God put me through depression, I'm quitting Him, then you lose your justification. It's not justified no matter what. It's not once justified, always justified, no matter what. It is conditional on our faith. Okay? Does that help a little bit? Okay, here's another one. I'm just throwing out a bunch of them you might can use with kids or friends you talk to, and these are just a bunch of examples that help me. I think this is a pretty good one. Here we are, we're sinking deep in sin, and Jesus comes along, and we hold up our hand to Him. I think that's a good one. Here's one I think that's better. We're already drowned. We have already drowned in our sin, and He reaches down and resurrects us. I like to look at it like you don't get a makeover. They don't come into your house and redo it. They mow it down and build a new one. That's what Romans 6 is. We're not made better by Christ. We're remade totally. And so I like to look at, here's Christ like this. Okay? Are these helping Andy? Are these any good? Everybody with me? Will, can you understand this stuff? Good. If you're dozing off, that's okay. I understand. I'm daydreaming myself up here. Okay. I'm ADD while I teach most of the time. We can't get these out of order. The cause of our salvation is Christ's work. The means is our faith and baptism. And the effect is, there we go, is our godly living. If you get those out of order, that the cause is godly living and the means is Christ, but it's godly living, we've got it all backwards. Charles Barkley is one of my favorite NBA analysts. I don't think he's a Christian. I think he's a fun guy, and he's probably a lot of fun at parties. He's going to make everybody laugh, I'm sure. And I like him. He's a funny guy. He's an all-American guy, a good person. He said once, you know, when I get to the Pearly Gates, it's going to be close. He said, I've done a lot of bad stuff, but I've done a lot of good stuff. It's going to be close. He's a real good former basketball player. He's not a good theologian. Neither was Michael Bloomberg. He was a great mayor of New York. He's a good guy. He's a good American guy. He wants what's best for our country. He said, when he gets the pearly gates, he's done so much for this country, he's not stopping for the interview. He's going to run right through in. Michael, it's not going to be that way. Charles, it's not going to be close. It's either in or out, saved or lost. I did the eulogy at my aunt's funeral. My parents both had big families, and so since I'm on the staff at church, I'm asked to do the weddings and funerals. And so after it was over, we were over at her house eating, and her son said, we got to be good so we can see Mama again. We got to be good so we can see Mama again. So I had to take this chance, this opportunity. I said, no, we have to be forgiven so we can see her again. If you're forgiven, you're going to try to be good. Let me pause there for a second. I hope you won't leave here thinking McPherson is putting down our goodness, our good works, our commitment. I'm not. I'm just putting him in the right spot. If you don't have goodness, good works, commitment, you're not in. Okay? But how would you ever know you've done enough? For instance, some people say, give your best for God. How would you even know if you did? And if you did say, I think I gave my best for God today, wouldn't that be pride? Yeah, I was everything God wanted today. I was tied with Jesus today. Little prideful there. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. Read the book of Galatians. It's everything I've been talking about. Here's the way the Galatians would have written those two verses. For by law you have been saved through works. This is your own doing. It is your payment to God. It is a result of works, so that now you may boast. Paul said the exact opposite. So all of these things that are important to us, our Christian commitment, our church assembly, our church programs, gifts of the Spirit that we have, our doctrinal beliefs, our moral living, are all part of our Christian life, but they're not the foundation of our salvation. These rotate around the cross of Christ. A man's wife passed away, and he went to the preacher and said, I would like you to mention this at my wife's funeral, that in the last 35 years, she has never missed a Sunday morning assembly. The preacher said, I will do that. Now, that's a pretty good record. I wish we would all aspire to that. I wish we could all try to go 35 years without missing. That is wonderful, and that I applaud her for that. That preacher was pretty smart. Theologically, here's what he said at the funeral. And this is what I said at my dad's funeral. I got this from him, but this is what I said at my dad's funeral. My dad passed away in January. He was an elder at the church at Radnor. He was really a neat person. He did a lot of things for the church. But I said, copying this guy, he said at the funeral of this woman, he said, this woman lying before us did not miss a service in 35 years. But let me tell you something better than that about her. She was forgiven. And that's what I said at my dad's funeral. My dad did a lot of great things for God, but the best thing you can say is he was forgiven. In our fellowship, where we have so properly wanted to get as back to the Bible as much as we can, We have emphasized things that we should have, okay? No denominational brand names like we talked about this morning. Plurality of elders, not the pastor system. Lord's Supper each Sunday. A cappella singing. Elders and preachers male. Congregational autonomy. Amillennial versus premillennial. By the way, you're amillennial. I don't know if you know it or not. Andy will explain that sometime. We have gifts of the Holy Spirit, We have fruits of the Spirit. Now, those are all important things. Those are not the gospel. When you're talking to people that are unchurched, don't try to get that across before you baptize them. For one thing, that's not the gospel. Those are doctrinal teachings after we're saved. Imagine the confusion if I told someone, now, we really want you to become a good member of the church, repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ, be faithful, don't have any denominational brand names, have plurality of elders, acapella sing. The confusion, and when you got through that, are they convicted of their sin? No. They're thinking, if I got all this stuff down, I'm okay. That's what does it. Whoever keeps the whole law, stumbles in one point, is guilty of all. This stuff's important. It's after the fact. It's after the salvation. Okay? Now, one last thing. We'll get out of here. I think this has helped me a lot. This is what I used to do with baptism. I would be talking to my good friend that believes just about everything I do except for a few of those things and baptism. So he would look up all his faith scriptures, and I would look up all the baptism scriptures, and we would have faith in baptism go to war. Now, yeah, we got to have faith, but it was baptism to us. Put them under till they bubble. Now, I think, to me, this is my best way in approaching baptism. First of all, when I'm talking to somebody that believes they are justified by faith and saved by God's grace and faith, I agree with them because you know what? That's what the Bible says. We just read a whole bunch of them. That's what it says. We're saved by faith. What else we got? Now here's baptism. We're gonna let I'll be God. Will, you'll be the sinner. Okay, so you can play this part quite well, I'm sure. Actually, we do all do, don't we? Okay, this is the free gift of eternal life. This is not a Bible. This is you getting to go to heaven free. Okay, so would you like to go to heaven? Do you believe I sent my son for you? Do you believe in that? Great. That's the only way you can get to heaven? You believe that? Okay. He just got baptized right there. That was his baptism. I think the best way to put it is we are not saved by baptism, by water. We are saved at baptism. There's a big difference. It's easy. Just get them under, get them under, get them under. They're 13. Get them under. Boom, boom. The magical thing. Kind of like when the groups that sprinkle their little kids when they're born, they're in. We are not saved by baptism. We're saved at that point. That does not de-emphasize baptism. It puts it where it's supposed to be. It's actually, when we do it that way, it's much more important than we all assume, but maybe for a different reason. So, well, that's it for me. That's all I've got. I do use this. Bring that back up, Jason. I'm sorry. This is the best little thing I've seen on baptism to explain it, because it's real easy to just talk about get them in the water. I think if you could explain this to them, this is the gospel enacted. You got Jesus dying, being buried, and raised from the dead. And then in this overlay, it's got you beside Jesus dying. You are dying to your old life. Then you're going down into a watery grave like he did, a tomb. And then you come up a new person like he did. I like that one a lot. I think that's a really good one there. So y'all have been great hosts. Jason, thank you for helping with this technology. The food was excellent, and I appreciate that a whole lot. And I hope we can come out sometime. My wife, whenever we do this deal, if we get it together, if we don't, that's okay. I'm hoping she'll come out with me. We've done it where in the early days when I had that depression, we would do little groups on Saturday evenings and do question and answer and talk to them, but you know, she cannot speak anymore, so I'll probably have her type out. She can barely use her iPhone anymore. That's just about gone now. But I'll have her type out some things that she would like to say about her faith. She's really got something. I've been writing down her one-liners through all this, and they're pretty incredible. And I'm not going to go into them now. We'll share them with you at another time, but I think they will really encourage you. But, Mr. Andy, appreciate the invite. And are we having an invitation song right now? Okay. So if anyone needs to come forward, we'll stand and sing right now.
Sweetly, Lord, have mercy on me, God. please. Our God and our Father, we thank you again for this day and its many wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity and privilege we've had to be here today and study another portion of your word, that we might be better able and capable of giving an answer for why we believe. Father, we thank you for loving us enough that while we were yet sinners, you sent your only begotten Son, that we might have the opportunity and privilege to live in heaven eternally with you. Father, we thank you for loving us for that much. Father, we at this time have those of our family that are sick, those in hospitals, and those at home. We pray, Father, that you might be with them and give them complete, speedy recoveries, that they can be back to the fellowship. Father, we ask that you be with our elders, the love which they have for your people and your word, that it might spread from this place. We pray, Father, the things they do will be in accordance with thy will, that we might be blessed. Father, we ask that you'd watch over us, that you'll guide, guide, and direct our steps. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.